Glad that you are spending your Sunday with us, worshiping here with us. If you are a visitor this morning, I invite you. There's a blue card in the seat in front of you. Should be one there for you. Would love to know that you were here. And that's got just basically all the information there. We won't harass you, but we would like to know that you were here. If you wouldn't mind filling that out, and you can just leave it in your seat there when you leave. Hope that you feel the presence of Christ in this place and with His people. If you would turn with me to Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1. Beginning in verse 1. Now, I want to say this up front. This says, "Blessed is the man," and I want to say that you understand, ladies, that doesn't exclude you. That this is implying that man, woman, that Scripture tells us that in Christ there is neither Greek nor Jew, male nor female. So this is implied for all of us. "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers." Now, we're going to end it there, but I want to, if you read the rest of that psalm, it talks about the person who doesn't do those things, he doesn't prosper. It does not go well for that person. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, we ask you to come and speak in power and authority. Open our ears and our minds and our hearts and change us in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm starting a series that I'm going to go through. I think it's several psalms this summer. We're calling the series Summer of Psalms. And, the psalms, do you read the psalms very often? The psalms are, it's a great place to spend some time. And just many times I'll read a psalm and it's like, that's what I want to say. But those words just didn't quite come out of me. But many times you'll read the psalms and it strikes you right at home. Well, today we're going to, as we just looked at it, Psalm chapter 1, and I'm changing the title. I kind of tweaked the title a little bit. Happiness 101 is what I'm calling this sermon today. So I want to, that word blessed is, and Jesus also, he preached the Sermon on the Mount, where we know, and he talked about all the different ways, blessed is this and blessed is that. And this psalmist is saying blessed. That word blessed basically means to be happy, but not just a happy like, ha-ha, happy like it's like everything in my life is perfect, happy, but happy, this happiness that exceeds our circumstances. So let me ask you a question this morning. Are you happy? Are you that kind of happy? I mean, you can just kind of reflect on that for a second. Billy talked about in his prayer just a little while ago that Jesus came not just so that we could have eternal life, even though that's wonderful and it's great and awesome, and I'm glad I have it, and I'm glad you have it, but he came so that we would have abundant life today as we walk through this world. So this idea of happy. Now, it's a little different happy than I was when I first saw the video of Jared. I'm not going to show it, brother. I'm not going to show it. Did y'all get my email yesterday? Raise your hand if you saw the video of Jared. He looked good, didn't he? Jared, you want to give us a couple of those moves or not? No, he's not going to give us it's a different. That made me happy when I saw that. It made me really, really happy. But that's not the type of happiness that the psalmist is talking about here. I promised Jared I would not show that in church today, and I'm going to stick to my promise. But if you missed it, just check your video, your email later. So this idea of happy Blessed is the man. So the first thing I want us to look about, if we want to be happy, don't follow the crowd. Now, I probably should have said there, don't follow the wrong crowd. If you want to jot that in there, that's fine. But don't follow the wrong crowd. Blessed is the man who does not. This psalmist starts out with the things that we shouldn't do. If we want to be blessed, if we want to be happy, he's telling us things we shouldn't do. Have you heard the old saying, misery loves company? You know, I've seen it so many times. Sin, the devil disguises sin, and he makes it look like that's the way to happiness. But I'm just telling you, it's a trap. It's a trap. I mean, I just see it over and over. All these things that the enemy and in our world is telling us that, you know, do these things and you will be happy. I see time after time after time, they lead to destruction. Misery loves company. Sin produces misery, and I've found that many times people knee-deep in sin like company. Did you know it? If someone, I mean, they don't like to be in it alone, so they want to kind of help entice you into the same sort of behavior that's actually leading them down the wrong way. So the psalmist is starting out by saying, don't follow the wrong crowd. Now he goes and gets a little bit more specific as he's giving us the things to not do. If you want to be happy, the first thing is don't listen to what the crowd says. Don't listen to what the crowd says. He says, blessed is man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. What does the crowd say today? What is the crowd telling us? Please don't hear this as condemnation if you've had a divorce. It's not. But basically our world tells us if you're not happy in your marriage, just jump out and get a divorce. It's cool. Just find somebody else. You know, keep looking, you'll find the right person. And we forget sometimes that relationships take work. Relationships take work. Now, if you've been divorced, please, again, don't hear that as condemnation on you. It's not, because that's why Jesus went to the cross, to save us from our brokenness. But our culture and the crowd says, marriage is just, I tell people when I'm doing premarital counseling, I'll get out my book of worship where I read the vows, and I'll say, I'm thinking about changing the vows for y'all's marriage. I was thinking about doing this. See what you think. I promise to love you as long as you love me back. I promise to be faithful to you as long as you're faithful to me. I promise to love you for better or for worse as long as it's most of the time better. And I run through a few of those, and they're looking at me with these glazed eyes like, have you lost your mind, preacher? And I'm saying, that's what many times we do when we're taking those vows. We're translating that in our mind. I promise these things if. There's an if there. And so that's what the crowd says. It also says if you have an unwanted pregnancy, just get an abortion. Just end it. You make that choice. It's your choice. Just get that. Just end it. Again, please don't hear condemnation. Just speaking God's truth to us this morning. If you're facing temptation, the crowd says, do what you want, just don't get caught. Nobody will know. If you can get away with it, if you can slip an extra $100 out of the till and nobody sees that, or an extra $1,000 or whatever it might be, and nobody will catch you, do it. Your happiness comes first. You must look out for you. That's what the crowd tells us, is that it's a me culture. I really hadn't thought about this, but I was telling Cheryl, we saw some advertisement on TV or something, and it was talking about this lady being a diva. And you know, that's kind of a popular term these days. She's a diva. And our culture glamorizes that. And a diva is this person where it's all about me, where everybody in life, their job is to make me happy. That's a diva. And we glamorize that in our culture, and we talk about, oh, man, she's a diva. Isn't that cool? Look at that. She's got all these people waiting. She does anything she wants to do. And by the way, men, I don't know what you call a man diva, but there are people like that as well. So it's not just you ladies. But we glamorize that me first mentality. And the psalmist is saying, don't listen to what the crowd says. Second thing is in regards to the crowd, don't do what the crowd does. Don't do what the crowd does. Blessed is the man who does not stand in the way of sinners. See, there's a way of sinners. There's a way that they behave, it's very easy. That's kind of this road where it's nice and smooth. That road is nice and smooth. It takes courage to go against the crowd. Did you know that? It takes courage to go against the crowd. Proverbs 14 tells us, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Again, Satan will, tempt us. It just blows me away. I see this so often, and I've seen it in my own life. The devil will, he'll tempt us like, oh, just do that. Oh, it'll be great. Just do that. It'll be great. Make that decision. And then when we make it, immediately he heaps shame on us. I can't believe you did that. You are a lowlife. And all these are thoughts. So he entices us. Oh, it'll be great. That'll be great. You'll be popular. You'll this, you'll that. You'll have fun. You'll do it. So he entices us. And as soon as we make that decision, you are a scumbag. Those are the thoughts that the enemy plants in us. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. And the third thing here in regards to the crowd, don't go where the crowd goes. Don't go where the crowd goes. Blessed is a man who does not sit in the seat of mockers. As I was preaching, studying this Psalm 1, several people came to my mind in a good way. Several people came to my mind that were blessed people that had lived out this psalm, lived out the good part of this psalm. And one of those that came to my mind very prominently was my dad. My dad and I know goodness doesn't get you to heaven because he had a relationship with Jesus, but my dad was a good man. He was a man of integrity. When my father passed away, I had so many of his ex-employees and so many people that knew him and just talked about what a good and principled and man of integrity my dad was and how he had impacted their life. And I remember, I won't mention the city because I don't want to offend anyone if this is a special city to you, but my dad worked for the Alcoholic Beverage Commission. By the way, a lot of my friends met my dad in high school, and I would come in on Monday morning from the weekend. Hey, I met your dad this weekend. I'm like, how much beer did you have to pour out? And so that's how a lot of my friends knew my dad. But anyway, he worked for the Alcoholic Beverage Commission, and he for many years, and he sacrificed this. I know he stayed in Abilene and let my brother and I graduate high school. I know he turned down opportunities to advance his career because he wanted us to have the stability of living in Abilene. Well, when we got out of the home and all, my dad had been the assistant supervisor of this district, the Abilene district, and he took a promotion as a district supervisor of another city. My dad was there a year and moved to another city, and I was just like, what's up, Dad? Why, do you not like it there? What's the deal? And he would just give me bits and pieces, but what I finally realized and figured out was Dad was moved from that city because he was enforcing the law for everyone. There were congressmen that lived in this city and powerful people who wanted Dad to turn the other cheek, turn away from them breaking the law in regards to liquor laws. And my dad wouldn't do it. It's like, it was basically like, I don't care if you're a congressman or if that's your son. He broke the law, and I'm going to enforce the law just the way I would if you were somebody on the street. And it got him run out of that city. Dad took the road less traveled. Dad was a man of integrity, and I'm proud to be his son. If you want to be happy, the second thing, if you want to be blessed, you want to be happy, you need to get a one-track mind. So the psalmist shifts from the things we shouldn't do, how we shouldn't go along with the crowd just because it's easy. Now he shifts to the things we should do. Psalms 1:2 says, "The blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." Blessed, happy people have a one-track mind. They know the difference between right and wrong, and they're committed to doing what's right. I want to ask you, do you read God's Word? Now, that's just a rhetorical question. Just mull that over in your mind. I've confessed this before, and I'll confess it again. Too many times, I'm reading God's Word in study in preparation for this moment, or in preparation for teaching a class. Too many times, that's why I'm in God's Word. And when I open up God's Word and I just begin to read it, just because it ministers to my heart, because it enriches my soul, I'm never disappointed. God's Word is a delight, and we should delight in it. God doesn't give us His law, His Word to spoil our good time. You know, think about it as children, as an adult for children. How many times do we as adults, as with children, how many times do you tell your kids they can or can't do something because you want to spoil their good time? Why don't we tell our kids, our grandkids, you can't do that. I don't want you doing that. You're not allowed to do that. We do that because we love them, and because we're trying to look out for their best interests. We want them to be happy and blessed and healthy and okay. And so we do that. We're not trying to spoil their good time. Do we delight in the law of the Lord? I mean, do we get into God's Word? I'm over the next several weeks when I preach on the Psalms, one of the things that really blessed me as I was began to start researching through the Psalms, which ones I were going to preach on. I have several that I've made notes in that I had no idea when I made the notes the significance of what that note said. And did you know it's okay to write in your Bible? It's not only okay to write in your Bible, I encourage you to write in your Bible. Make notes all in your Bible and date those things, date those notations. I have several that you're going to be hearing about over the next several weeks that were substantial, significant moments in my life, and I had no idea when I made the note how it was all going to come together and how it was all going to lay out. So make notes in your Bible. Get in God's Word. Get a one-track mind. Joshua says it this way: "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, that you may be successful wherever you go." There it is. Get into God's Word so that we will be successful wherever we go, whatever we do. "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Speak of it. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do what everything written into it." Listen to this. "Then you will be prosperous and successful." Get into God's Word. Have a one-track mind. Focus on God's Word, and you will be successful and prosperous. That's the promise of God's Word. And finally, number three, if you want to be happy, get weather-resistant faith. Weather-resistant faith. I love this verse in chapter 3. Verse 3 of chapter 1 here in Psalms. "The blessed man is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers." We have a plant. Y'all have heard me talk about Cheryl being the plant lady. I'm telling you, if we walk into Lowe's, it's like she gets lost. I just lose her. I did it this week. We went in there. I was going to go get a $3 part, and she went away. She just went away. But she's the plant lady. Well, we have a plant. It's in our driveway. And if you knew the layout of our house, there's no grass on that side of the house. It's all concrete. But we have this plant in this bucket, and it's called an impatience gland. I know all you men know exactly what an impatience plant looks like, right? Yeah, you're like me. I never heard of that. But it's an impatience plant. And it's planted in the driveway. And, you know, we've had that plant for a while now, quite a while. And to my knowledge, and Cheryl may correct me if I'm wrong, she's never put a drop of water. Have you ever watered that plant? Not once. And I should have taken a picture of it and shown it to you. It's really pretty. It's doing really well. And we've had it, how long have we had it, Cheryl? A year? 3 months? 3 years. That makes the sermon a lot better. 3 months would have been, everybody went, it's not. 3 years. So, okay, so we have this impatience plant. Not a drop of water has come from Cheryl, and I certainly don't. That's not my job. I don't water plants. We have not watered that plant in 3 years, and it's beautiful. You come by and look at it. Here's the secret. We scooted the plant right under the condensation line of our air conditioner. If you know, now the guys are going, I get that. I know what that is. As the air conditioner runs, condensation comes off of the unit and it drips out this little line and it drips right into our impatient plant. And so we have, as long as that air conditioner's running, as long as the source is good, we should have a beautiful impatient plant in our driveway. The blessed man is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. There's the Bible teaches us not that you come to Jesus and all your problems will be solved and everything will go away. What the Bible teaches us is that when bad weather comes, when the storms of life come, when our foundation is built on the rock, we weather the storm. And not only do we weather the storm, but this passage, verse 3, says that we will yield fruit. We will be fruitful even in the midst of the storm. Because we're like a tree planted by streams of water. Are we getting it, church? That's the blessed man. That's the man who has happiness, and the woman who has happiness, if we are planted by streams of water. Another person that came to my mind as I'm thinking about that sort of person, that's their life has been like that tree planted by streams of living water. And there's many, many of you sit in this room. But another one that came to my mind this week was Pat Patterson. We lost Pat Saturday night. Some of you know Pat and some of you don't. Pat was 94. And I just want to tell you, you know, my experience with Pat, he lost his wife, Maxine, I think about 3 or 4 months ago. They were married 66 years, right, Billy? 66, I think. You know, you don't get through 66 years of marriage and everything going smoothly. Did you know that? And Pat was... I never could see this in him, but he would tell me that he would, back several years ago, the new praise music, Pat was a very involved in music. He had led choirs in churches and had taught music in school, and so music was a big piece of his life. And the praise music, as it began, I think this was like in the 80s, as it began to kind of get more popular in the churches and all, Pat said, I was an angry, bitter man. He said, I would go to church, and he said, I was just angry. And I would say, Pat, I don't see that guy. I've never seen that guy. And he goes, I was angry. And he said, after several years of that, he said, one day I was sitting in church, and I just prayed to God, and I was just like, God, why can't things be the way I want them? And he said he felt like the Lord impressed upon his heart the question, well, Pat, what would things look like if it was the way you wanted? And he said, Jeff, I began to look and ask that question. I began to look at myself, and he said, I didn't like what I saw. I didn't like what my church would look like if I got my way. And he said, it changed my heart. And I tell you, I never saw Pat in a bad mood. I never saw Pat angry. And he would come into my office back when he was able to. He would come into my office almost weekly. And he would just step in for 5 minutes just to say hi. And he was always an encouragement to me. He said so many things to me that just blessed me. Well, as I said, Pat was 94 and he passed away Saturday. And I got the privilege of serving Pat communion a couple of weeks ago, and his son Mike had been texting me and said, "Dad's it's getting close. Dad's almost ready to be with the Lord," and so we kept in contact that way. And I got this text, partially this text from Mike, his son, on Saturday, and it said this: "It said, Jeff, Dad, like Mom, chose to leave this earth with no fanfare. Pat didn't want a service or anything. He just wanted to just go and be with Jesus and nobody make a fuss." And he said, I know you. He would want you to tell his church family he loved them." That's Pat's message to y'all. And he said, "I will tell you two things he shared with me during the last week." So I want you to have this picture. 94 years old. He knows he's dying. And he's led this fruitful, abundant life. And here's what he said. "While he was praying one evening, he told me he saw the outline of the Trinity. I got all excited and asked him to describe what it looked like. He looked at me a moment and said, 'No.'" that sounds like, because I was wanting to know too. "I think," he said, "it brought him great peace, which brought me great joy. I figure there was no way to describe the outline of the Trinity. Secondly," he looked at me, and this is still Mike. "Secondly, he looked at me and said, 'Son, when it is all said and done, the only thing that matters is Jesus.'" He says, "My dad was still teaching me truths at 65 years old. The only thing that matters is Jesus." I mean, he had fought the good fight. He had finished the race. Now there was in store for him a crown of righteousness. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers." Mike also told me, and this, I wasn't planning on sharing this, but I feel like I'm supposed to. It's kind of embarrassing and it's humbling. But he told me in another text, he said, right before Dad passed, we're trying to kind of get his room ready and get things put away. And he said, we pulled out my dad's Bible. And there was a picture of you and your family in his Bible. Man, what an honor. What an honor. When I think of the impact that Pat has had on numerous people, what an honor. He probably just didn't know what to do with it. But I don't care. I don't care. Are we like that plant, that tree that's planted by streams of living water that will see us through no matter what comes our way? Jesus knew, in fact, Jesus had said, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world." How had he overcome the world? With this meal. With a broken body. He said this body was broken for us. And with shed blood, the blood of the new covenant established for us. And when Jesus established this meal, he said, he didn't make a lot of, you know, sometimes, I don't know, this is just me, I think sometimes religion and the church, we complicate things. He didn't give us a bunch of rules. "Oh, you got to do this once a week, or it's got to be, you know, real wine or grape juice or it's got to be this kind of bread or that. He didn't give us any of those kind of things. He just said, when you do this, remember me. And I don't know about you, but I really feel like, and I've had some things in my life, but not nearly as much as many of you have that have come up. But I really feel like with all my heart, because of Jesus, I'm planted by streams of living water. I believe that whatever comes my way, while it may take my breath away and I may stumble, I know I'll get through it. Because I'm planted by streams of living water. And those streams of living water, the living water is Jesus. So we come here today to partake in this meal. And he says, come and remember me. Remember that this is a costly meal. So we come not as perfect people, but as a redeemed and forgiven people. So I want to ask you to just bow your head. If Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior and you have repented of your sin, then you're welcome to this meal. That's the invitation. So I want you to just, in your own heart, confess that you're not all that God would have you to be, that you fall short at places in your life. Just confess that to Him. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven, church. Amen. If those who are serving, the sound team and the music team would come forward. Christ our Lord has invited us to His table. If you love Him and you have called on Him as Savior and you've repented of your sin, you are welcome to this table. You do not have to be a member of our church to come and serve, and you're also be served, and you're also free to not come. We hope that you'll come and partake, but you certainly do not have to do that. We have these two stations here and these two stations here. You'll be given a piece of bread, dip it into the juice and partake in that manner. The center aisle here, if you want to come for the individual cup, that's here in the center. The altar rail is open. Come.
How great is your faithfulness. that you have shown to me. Your faithful presence never leaves. Your mercy is new each day. You never give up on me. Reaching your rescue me. How great is your that you have shown to me. Your faithful presence never leaves. Your mercy is new each day. You never give up on your hand out to rescue me. Faithful God, your love is my song and I will sing. Faithful God to me. Made me holy. Now I am wholly yours. Your blood-stained hands are holding me. I rest in the glory of your risen life. Your risen life now shines through me. Faithful God, your love is my song and
like a tree planted by streams of living water. Go and plant yourself. Go and tell someone, be blessed. In Jesus' name, we're just going to pray.
Faithful God, your